Dear friends in Christ, today we come to part two of two on this new brochure, the title here, How to Benefit from the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is not just something to go through the motions, but rather it's to understand it, it's to be repentant, it's to truly get the benefits that God wants us to get. And God wants us to understand, too, that if we don't know how to benefit, we actually might be bringing physical harm upon ourselves. I'm saying that because that's exactly what Paul wrote to the Christians living in Corinth. We're going to come to that today. A quick review on part one. We looked at the words of institution. We looked at the meaning of old covenant, new covenant. We took a look at that phrase that when we receive, we are proclaiming Jesus' death until he comes. I took some time with that last week. I hope you know what that means. If you don't, please pick up a copy of the brochure. It's important because it is something that we are doing. And then we also began to get into the topic of how to benefit. So we talked about the importance of being repentant. That means to be contrite. We went into all of that with our series on repentance. So contrition and faith are the two parts of repentance. Very important. It's also important that we are recognizing that along with the bread and the wine, we are receiving the very body that Jesus gave to the cross and the very blood that Jesus shed on the cross. These things seem impossible, but yet God wants us to know that he can do anything. God has told us such things are true in the Bible, and we don't have to understand it. Actually, we can't understand it, but what is God calling us to do? He's calling us with childlike faith to believe. In other words, childlike faith doesn't understand, but childlike faith believes simply because God has said it. God wants us to be that way too. Part two today then, we are going to look at the importance of self-examination. We want to be careful not to bring judgment on ourselves, and we also want to understand there are possible consequences of unworthy reception. So think about it like this. There are benefits of receiving rightly, but there are negatives of receiving wrongly. The Bible is clear on that topic. What does the Bible mean? We're going to get into that now. So picking up here on how to benefit, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, and Paul wrote, "But a person must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup." So this word examine, what does that really mean? To examine means to evaluate something, to look at it carefully, to discern, to inspect. So I happen to have this coin. It's a coin I purchased some years ago when I was in Europe. And the coin looks like an authentic coin that's about 1700 to 1800 years old. Is it authentic? Well, in order to determine that, we have to look at it carefully. We have to look at exactly how wide it is. We have to weigh it and see what the weight is. We have to look at the edge of it and determine if it has a proper edge or not. There's all kinds of different ways to try to determine the authenticity. If it's a fake, it's still worth about $30. If it's authentic, it's worth about $300. I'm not quite sure if it's authentic or not. It probably isn't, realistically, but it's kind of a neat old coin, old-looking coin. So anyway, when it comes to the Lord's Supper, Lenski wrote this, "The communicant is to test himself as to his fitness for the sacrament." Remember how I talked last week? I talked about the balance scales and how on the one side, the sacrament is heavy, so that causes the other side to go up. but when we are receiving in a worthy manner, that means we understand what it is, we believe what it is, we are repentant, we know some basic things about the teachings of this congregation, so when we are ready, that balances the scale, and now we're ready to receive in a worthy manner. You can find out more about that if you look in the brochure. Well, we're coming back to the five questions again. Let me just go over them real quick. So I'm hoping you're going to look at these each week when you receive, because the Bible is emphasizing this idea of self-examination. Oh, let me go back for a moment. Did you see what Lenski wrote there? He alone can do that. So I can't do your self-examination. Only you know what's in your mind and what's in your heart, so only you can properly do that. That's what we're trying to do at Bethlehem. We're trying to put it on each individual to do that examination. So I think these can be helpful questions. First of all, do I believe the Bible is true? I would hope all of you believe that. If you're not sure, I hope you take a look at the brochure, The Bible is True. A lot of good evidence in there on why we should believe that it is true. The second part is on the topic of repentance. Do I desire to turn from my sins? When people are repentant, they're certainly going to have that desire. And if they don't have that desire, that's pointing to them not being repentant. If someone is unrepentant and they would go to the supper, what's the purpose of going? To receive the assurance that we are forgiven. Isn't it kind of odd? Oh, I'm not sorry for my sins. I want to continue in my sins, but I'm going to go to the supper so that God can assure me that I'm forgiven. Can you see how it like completely clashes? It doesn't fit. God wants us to be repentant, and that's one of the important things of being ready then to receive the supper. And then on the topic of salvation, am I trusting in Jesus alone for heaven? Let's understand we live in a world where probably the majority of people, probably the vast majority of people who say they are Christian, they are not believing in Jesus alone for heaven. They are combining what they are doing with Jesus. Anyone who is believing that, they have actually rejected Christ. The Bible is very strong on that topic. The Bible is very clear that Jesus alone is the way. This is my favorite brochure on that topic. Why is faith in Jesus the ticket to heaven? In this brochure, I have my favorite, I think it's either 16 or 17 different Bible passages that make it crystal clear that it is faith alone in Christ that's the only way to heaven. So if people can't answer yes to that, that would mean that they're not even Christians. So I think it's an important question. What about question four? Now we're looking at the contents of the supper. Do I believe the supper is bread and body, wine and blood for the forgiveness of sins? Again, when we go into the Bible, when we look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke, so we look at the words of institution, those are so important. And then here, with this brochure, this is based on a key section in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. When we look at all of that, it is crystal clear that what I have here in the question is exactly what the Bible is teaching. So if you cannot agree with that, you have some kind of a misunderstanding of what the Bible is teaching. That's the fourth question. Coming to the fifth question, I made a change here, and it's a very important change, I believe. The old question said, do I agree with the teachings of the LCMS? That is a huge question. Who knows all the teachings of the LCMS? Well, if we look back to what we call the brief statement that was published back in 1932, it identifies 19 doctrines that we hold to as the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And even though that document is almost 100 years old, that document is still kind of one of the go-to documents today on summarizing the teachings of our church body. Why can we go back to that? Well, the teachings never change. So we looked at them very carefully back then, and they still continue to be true today. That is too much, I think. So what we're doing now is I'm saying, do I agree with the contents of Luther's Small Catechism? Now, when I say that, I'm not talking about the book here. So I brought my book. This is actually the same small book that everybody has. Mine's simply a paperback, so it's bound like this, and it has some white space on each page. But when I say Luther's Small Catechism, I'm only talking about this very small part at the beginning of the book. What is this book? Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation. So the catechism is here. The explanation is here. Our church body has put out these little booklets like this, and they're called A Simple Explanation of Christianity. What is contained in this booklet? This is Luther's Small Catechism. This booklet is the same as the front part of this book. So I think all of you have a small catechism. If you don't, we're glad to give you one. But I would encourage all of you, though, to take your catechism and to read through this first section. It would be a good refresher. Honestly, it would take you about 10 or 15 minutes at the most to read through Luther's Small Catechism. He wrote it back in 1529. He wrote it so the parents back then would know some of the basics of Christianity, and then the parents would teach this information to their children. So it's some important information, it's some basic information. All of us should know this information. Those are the five questions we're talking about. At this time, I want to go into some other things that Paul wrote here in this section. I'm talking about being careful about receiving. Like I said earlier, we can receive to our benefit, we can also receive to our harm. Well, just before I get to that, let me share two verses here on the topic of unity. With the fifth question on believing the contents of the Small Catechism, that's pointing to the topic of unity. So Paul wrote here in chapter 1, "Now I exhort you that you all agree and that there be no divisions among you." So let's have no divisions. Let's embrace the Small Catechism as being a proper understanding of God's holy word. And then jumping to chapter 10, "Since there is one loaf, and we who are many are one body, we all partake of the one loaf." So this idea of the one loaf, we're thinking about when Jesus instituted the supper, he had one loaf of unleavened bread. And he's saying, as the bread is one loaf, here we are all united as members of the one body of Christ. So when we think about the supper, we have this aspect of unity. And then going further here, Paul warns us in verse 29, "For the one who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not properly recognize the body." Now, this particular verse has been a great point of contention for a long time. You can see the word judgment, and I put the Greek word in there, but that Greek word, though, does not translate damnation, even though that is the word we have in the King James Version of the Bible. So a lot of people have been influenced by that, and a lot of people have been concerned, oh, if I receive the Lord's Supper in an improper way, I'm condemning myself to hell. Is that what the Bible is teaching? I want you to know it is not. Let's take a look at this a little more carefully. What is the meaning of judgment? Judgment has a couple different meanings, that word. So a judgment can be a decision. I'm deciding to go this way rather than that way. Judgment can be a decision, but here though, in this context, a judgment is a sentence of judgment. So we're giving ourselves a sentence of judgment by receiving without being properly prepared. So understand again, it is not damnation. However, though, if people are unrepentant and they continue in their unrepentance, what will be the outcome? Damnation. So it's not the supper that's bringing damnation, but it's their continuing in unrepentance will eventually bring them to a state of damnation. What does it mean to recognize the body? That's what it said there in the text. So people should eat and drink and properly recognize the body. What does that mean? Lenski wrote, that means to perceive that in the sacrament, that the body, now he's kind of abbreviating here, he really means the body and the blood. That's what he's talking about in this whole section. To perceive that in the sacrament, the body and blood are really present and received. That's a big step, isn't it? When we think about the sacrament, we see the bread, we see the wine, we taste it, but yet the Bible is teaching that along with that bread, we're receiving also the very body of Jesus, along with the wine, also the very blood of Jesus. Again, none of us can comprehend that, none of us can understand that, but God has so clearly said it, so he wants us to believe it. Why do many churches reject that today? Because they're taking their own common sense and they're using their common sense to cancel out what the Word of God says. Not a good idea. We want the Word of God to control our common sense rather than our common sense canceling out the truth of God's Word. I am thoroughly convinced, based on the sections I mentioned with Matthew, Mark, and Luke, as well as 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it is crystal clear that we are receiving bread, wine, body, and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. And then Paul goes on and talks about possible consequences here. He writes to the Corinthians, for this reason, in other words, because some of you are receiving in an unworthy manner, for this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you are asleep. Let's make sure we note here that the consequences he talks about, they are temporal, physical consequences. They are not eternal consequences. So when people receive the supper in an improper way, again, they are not condemning themselves for eternity. So it is a serious matter, but it's not to the level of being an eternal kind of a sin. What is the remedy? Let's say someone has been receiving the Lord's Supper in an improper way, and now they know the truth better, and now they want to take this serious. The remedy is simply to repent, to embrace what the Bible says, to be truly repentant in that we are sorry for our sins, we are turning from our sins, we are embracing Christ alone as Savior. That is the answer. I wanted to share one thing with you here, kind of a side note, but when I studied this section, I discovered that in the Bible we have a number of places, I didn't count them, but a number of places where it talks about people who have died, and it refers to them as being asleep. Now, in the Old Testament, this doesn't follow. In other words, in the Old Testament, some of the ones who are sleeping died trusting in the coming Messiah. Some of them died without the Messiah. That's the Old Testament. In the New Testament, though, it's interesting that every time it talks about somebody who is physically dead, in other words, someone who is sleeping, who has died, that's always referring to a Christian. So it's always referring to someone that Jesus is going to come back and wake up, and they're going to be with God forever. So when we think about what Paul wrote there for a moment, he talked about a number of people being asleep. So can you see how that fits together? So he's saying, people were receiving in an improper way. Some of them physically died, and now they're sleeping. But he's saying those are Christian people, and Jesus is going to come back and wake them up. So maybe because of what they were doing, they experienced weakness, sickness, maybe they even died. But it doesn't mean, though, that they've messed up their eternity. I want you to get that part. A quote here from Lenski again, he wrote, "The body and the blood do not act as a poison which makes an unworthy communicant sick or kills him. It is the sin of communing unworthily which causes the penalty." So I hope that makes sense there. It's there's nothing wrong with the sacrament, but there's something wrong with the person coming who is not properly prepared to receive. How do we do that? Well, we think about our five questions. Going on to verse 31, he wrote, "But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged by the Lord." Think about what he's saying there. He's saying, if you don't judge yourself properly, you could end up physically weak, sick, or dead. But if you do judge yourself properly, then you will not be judged by the Lord. So don't we want to do that? Don't we want to judge ourselves in a proper way? We don't want to get sick or weak or die. So let us judge ourselves properly. Well, what does that mean? We've said it already, self-examination using the five questions. And then verse 32, this is the final verse then in this section. So Paul wrote, "But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord so that we will not be condemned along with the world." So there is a difference here as to whether you're an unbeliever or a believer. Let me share those with you. For unbelievers, the judgments in this life, think about this. So the judgments, the difficulties in this life are advance indications of God's final wrath. So when someone who is in unrepentance, and here they are going through their lives, and they're facing various difficulties, God is giving them a taste of what is coming for them in eternity. Why is God doing that? He's not trying to hurt them. He's trying to show them, don't continue in that. He's calling them to repent. He wants them to be with him forever. He wants them to be blessed forever. What about for us as believers? It's different. The judgment is discipline. So God disciplines us because he loves us. So sometimes he lets difficulties come, but again, he's calling us to repent. So what is our church body teaching then on this topic? Well, the real presence. Christ's body and blood are truly present in the supper. The Bible makes it very clear. So God is calling us to believe his word to be true. Weakness, illness, physical death, they can occur when the real presence is rejected. Many, many Christians in the world today, they are rejecting. Now, I did underline the word here, can. So does that mean that everyone who is rejecting the real presence, that they're either weak or sick or they've died? It doesn't. But Paul made it very clear, though, that among those in Corinth, that had happened to a number of them. So can it be happening today? By all means. And then how else can we summarize the teaching of the Bible? Well, the eternal damnation, like I said, it will occur if a person continues in unrepentance. Like Jesus said there in Luke 13, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. The Bible is so clear. Therefore, the sacrament should be received in repentance and faith and with proper understanding. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your finished work for our salvation. Dear Holy Spirit, we pray that you would continue to work in us, that we would faithfully gather, that we would be hungry to come and to hear your word and receive the supper, and help us before we come that we would take a look at the five questions, that we would rightly examine ourselves, that we can say a definite yes to each one, and that we would come and we would be absolutely certain that in Christ alone our sins are forgiven. In his name we pray. Amen.